5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here, your favorite cancer survivorship bus driver, Angel Santana on the other side of the glass. Have faith, let it begin. Angel.
How are you, sir?
Sick and tired of the snow and ice, Angel. I'm a little cranky today. We have bad weather up here in the Hudson Valley, and I'm done. I'm done. I'm looking at condos in Florida. I'm done.
And you know what's funny? I didn't mean to cut you off, but yes, when you started talking about the SNOW, I had to, because I feel that that should now be a curse word. So we got to bleep out.
It is a four-letter word, and it begins with S, so perfect.
Yeah, so there you go. But I feel good. I just did my shoveling this past week, you know, during the storm. But guess what? I'm achy. I may be a little bit sore, but there's nothing better than relaxing and listening to one of the greatest podcasts on a Sunday, and that is the Croc Podcast. I'm happy for today's episode.
And I understand we have a new listener, a one-month-old baby by the name of Noah. It, 1 month went really quick, huh? At least for us, it did.
Yes, and there's another S word that is really, really powerful. It's called sleep. No yes, sleep.
That's the five-letter word that you will not probably see for a while.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yes, happy birthday.
Well, I do have a bit of a stay of execution today for you, Angel. We're going to make it easy for us both this week. We are still on Dr. Len Berry and Dr. Raina Ordish's series on kindness in oncologic care, actually kindness in medical care in general. And we've kind of hijacked it and stowed away on their paper and took it over for our cancer survivors. We've already addressed deep listening. We've addressed empathy. We've addressed timeliness of care. And last week we addressed
gentle honesty.
And this week, I'm very happy to report that generosity, which is the five out of six, we've already done a module on generosity. So there's no sense in reinventing the wheel. And we're going to just replay one of our generosity episodes for our Croc Nation. And it really fits in very nicely. And next week, we will complete this module with an episode appropriately on how to take care of or show kindness to the ones that our cancer survivors love the most. And that is their caretakers, the people who take care of them, their family members, their neighbors, their friends, the people that drive them in every day, the people who take care of them when they're not in our arms being treated. So they are heroes and unsung heroes. And I can't wait to find out how Len and Raina suggest we show them some kindness.
I agree. And I can't wait to just get back into our DeLorean, go back in time and listen to an episode. And you know what? It's not only today that we can do that. If you're a listener or if you're a brand new listener, guess what? You know, we are closing in on almost 60 episodes. So there are 60 episodes that you can go back and listen to the Croc Podcast. But this right now, this module that we're on is something to definitely take a dive into. So once again, just to reiterate it for, you know, Dr. Tommy and Ellie, it started, you know, with deep listening, empathy, timeless of care, gentle honesty. And now we are taking it back a couple of weeks ago and doing another part of this this module. And for that, I say, let's roll it.
Let's roll, Angel.
All right, let's go. And we're going to do this in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Croc Nation, happy Sunday. Dr. Tommy and Ellie, your favorite cancer survivorship bus driver, Angel Santana on my left. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, how are you?
Hello, my friends.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Sunday. And that is, we are closer and closer to the holiday, my friend.
As a matter of fact, you know this is a themed, the next seven podcasts will be all themed.
Ooh.
Toward gratitude, generosity. It's going to be fantastic.
I like it. Let's rock.
Yeah, so I wanted to tell you a story
I like stories.
Yeah, I know you do. That's why I always feed you a story. So about two Fridays ago, it was time to get the staff out of the hospital and get them into a social environment. We were stressed. We were burnt. Coronavirus, high stress work with cancer survivors. And we went out to the City Winery over in Montgomery.
Oh, really?
Beautiful, beautiful place. And I'm sitting back and I'm watching the staff have the greatest time ever. They're all dressed up. They're laughing. They're having a few drinks. They're letting off some steam. People that are always mad at each other are laughing at each other. They're hugging each other. Everybody's having a great time. And then I remembered another time when we had the staff out. And we were at a Mets game, a Mets-Yankees game. And we're going to talk about that in more detail in a minute. But after about maybe 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes of the party of the tailgate, I just noticed that there was a gentleman in our group, in tailgate parties, there's like a cloud of people.
Oh, yeah.
Surrounding, the grills and the whole thing. We had a bus and there was a guy I didn't recognize. And I went to Sherry, who's, one of our workers here. And I said, Sherry, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. And she went up to this guy and she said, excuse me, sir, who are you? And he goes, busted. My name is Jose, and I'm actually with that tailgate, but your tailgate is so much better that I figured I would come and I would crash your tailgate.
That's great.
So Sherry goes, well, Jose, you're going to have to go talk to Dr. Iannelli. I mean, he's the one who's hosting this. So Sherry brings Jose to see me. And I said, Jose, what are you doing here? And he goes, I have to be honest with you, Doc. I was with my company and we had this tailgate party, the same as you guys. They took us to the ball game and we're having, but it was the worst tailgate in the world. They were cheap. They didn't have enough food and everybody was really in a bad mood and they treated us terribly. And I just saw you guys laughing and drinking and eating hot dogs and hugging each other and having the greatest time. It looked like I was in heaven. And I figured, let me see if they even notice that I'm here.
Oh, that's great.
And I said, Jose, welcome to heaven. You are welcome to stay at our tailgate party. And the reason why I'm telling you these two stories is because I said to myself, why is everyone thanking me for doing these things? People come up to me and say, God, Dr. Iannelli, thank you so much for lunch. Thank you so much. And I thought to myself, well, am I like the only one in the world that does this? I mean, I can't be the only one in the world that does this. And I thought to myself, well, we need to do a podcast. Last week, we did a podcast about gratitude. And this week, we're going to begin a 3-series part on generosity.
Ooh.
What do you think?
I love generosity. Every time I hear that word, and I've done this on my show, I think of my mother.
As far as generosity.
I hear that word, I picture my mom.
So let's talk, let's take a deep dive into generosity. Let's explore it a little bit.
Let's do it.
Okay, you're ready. So the Webster Dictionary definition, or I should say, rather than the definition, I got the synonyms for generosity. And the synonyms are abundance, big-heartedness, bounty, largesse. That's a good word. That's an SAT word, largesse. Munificence, another SAT word. And unselfishness. My definition is a little different, and it actually plays off of our podcast last week of gratitude, because I believe generosity and gratitude are two sides of the same coin. If you were to look at it as a metaphor or as just to paint you a picture, gratitude is the noun. It's the big mountain of gratitude. It's basically there. It's solid. It's, forever, gratitude to be grateful. But generosity is the verb of gratitude. We are giving because of what we are given. So we're grateful, thus we give. Mm-hmm. So generosity and gratitude are two sides of that same one coin. And that's really my definition. But let's go a little further.
Okay.
I love all sorts of different things. I have about 3 million hobbies. Like, I don't even know. Like, I am so interested in everything that my mind never stops. I barely sleep. I'm interested in history, literature, fishing, football, sports, you name it. I'm a fan, right? So I also love great writing. And one of my favorite books of all time is Dante's Inferno. Everyone had to read it in school. Probably ninth grade, you read Dante's Inferno. And if you remember, Dante had all the levels of hell. You know, so if you're really bad, you're like on that bottom level. If you're not so bad, you're still in hell, but you're like up here. So he puts the hoarders and the squanderers, so the greedy, in the fourth level of hell. And I've always believed that parsimony or that cheapness that a person shows in all ways, not just in spending money, just cheapness or parsimony of spirit is really a character flaw. And I want to dive into this generosity because I really believe that we need to be generous on so many different levels and to be thankful for everything that we have. For example, generosity is not just about giving something, but let's just talk about gifts. We have Christmas coming up, Hanukkah's coming up. You know, there's the exchange of gifts. But I have seen people have their Christmas list and they look at it like they're like it's a chore. It's like, what does Frankie need this year? What are we going to do for Joseph? David needs that. Sally needs this. Mm-hmm. But it's like they're out shopping like it's a chore. Like it's a bother that they had, like they have to do this.
I call it the annual routine.
It's a routine. And I don't think giving or generosity should be a routine. Also, just to make sure the Croc Nation knows, generosity doesn't have to cost any money. It doesn't have to be materialistic. The greatest thing you could give is the gift of yourself, to give your time and to give your talent. You just gave your time and your talent last weekend. You preached at your church.
Right.
That didn't cost you anything.
No. And the reward was so rewarding.
Yes. Also, the depth of giving, you know, when we give, it should be as deep and profound as the most deep and profound poem or work of art. And really, it should be selfless. It should be anonymous. It should not be self-aggrandizing. It should be agendaless. And I'm going to get into that in a second. And it should be advantageless. And it should be pure. So, you know, and as a younger man, I have to say that I kind of fell into this. I mean, some people give because they like to be recognized. It's like, hey, Dr. Iannelli, thanks for lunch. You're the greatest. Blah, blah, blah. You know, at first, you know, that kind of felt pretty good, you know, to have everybody like you. And, you know, so when you would give, you would get back something that made you feel something inside that made you feel bigger. But that's not what giving is all about. Giving should not be about trying to get something back. I remember people, actually, my daughter said to me the other day, she said, Dad, do you mind if I let Tommy, my son, her brother, you know, use my car? And I said, honey, I gave you that car, you know, when you graduated from college. That's your car. I mean, you could drive it into the ocean. I wouldn't think that would be a smart thing to do. You could sell it. And you could buy flowers. You could do whatever you want with it. It's your car. So there shouldn't be any sort of stipulation. Like, I'm going to give you this, so you have to give me that. There shouldn't be any sort of a wanting something back, or what would be the word, Angel? A reciprocity. There shouldn't be
any like a boomerang. You don't want to throw it because you expect it to come back.
You don't want to have conditions.
Yes.
You want your gift to be conditionless.
You want it to be the boomerang of one way. You
exactly.
Throw it, and
exactly.
The next person grabs it and throws it somewhere else.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you something. Again, not for my own agenda. I don't want to be thanked. This has nothing to do with me. But I do believe that I am in a position to be an expert on generosity. I'm going to tell you why. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with my DNA. generosity has been ingrained in me almost as if, you know, a whatever animal would, like a squirrel would sequester acorns. It's just in their DNA. My dogs want to eat squirrels. That's in their DNA, right? Or bring down deer or whatever it is that's in their DNA. My grandparents immigrated from Italy. We're going to talk a lot about food today because food is love and food is generosity. And some of the things we're going to talk about have to do with this. But my grandfather was a pastry chef and he opened up a bakery. So food was always part of our culture. Giving food, making food, giving food away was always something. In addition, my examples, even if we had nothing, you know, I would always observe my uncles would be the ones that would pick up the dinner check. And it wasn't because they wanted to be thanked or loved or thought of as being big shots or whatever. It was because they really, in their hearts, had such a love of the people that they were with. They wanted to just shower them with this blanket of caring, this blanket of, you know, they gave from their hearts. It was not for any other reason other than that. They, you know, my family, as every American family that are immigrants, at least the turn of the century immigrants, had to go through a depression, 2 world wars. So my generosity or understanding of generosity comes through what I call the perfect storm. So there was this movie called The Perfect Storm. There's a term called the perfect storm. It's when all of these different storm fronts just kind of gather together to make a super storm, like the mother of all storms. And in me, my DNA, familial examples, I'm watching my grandparents, watching my uncles, and being part of a business that had to do with food and nourishment made it very easy for me. So when we talk today about generosity, and I make little pokes to my colleagues, like, hey, why don't you take a crowbar and open up your wallet and buy your staff a freaking pizza? You know, I don't mean that in any kind of a way that like I'm better than you or anything. I just happen to be very lucky, you know, in that I have that in my DNA. So I want to talk about that. By the end of the podcast, I want everyone to view giving as the purest and holiest act we can do in our human journey. So that's my goal for today. So we're going to have a 3-part series, and today is going to be called Practitioner Generosity. That means that the doctor or the healthcare professional who's in charge, that director who's in charge of that particular department, they have an obligation, not just to their patients, which we're going to get to as well, but they have an obligation to their staff, to their nurses, to their therapists, to their physicists and dosimetrists. In my particular case, could be their nurse practitioners or the PAs, if you're a surgeon or a medical oncologist. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. Next week, we're going to talk about organizational generosity. Mm. That's our system that we're employed under. We're Garnet Health. Garnet Health has a responsibility not just to heal everyone who walks through their doors, but they're also responsible for the well-being of their employees. They're responsible to be generous. And again, it doesn't have to be generous with money, just generous in spirit to the people that work for them. And then we're going to end the series, the 3-part series, with survivor generosity. What we as cancer survivor advocates, cancer doctors, cancer nurses, what is our obligation to go above and beyond what we do for a living to help our cancer survivors get through their survivorship journey? So that's going to be the three part series. And we're going to be talking about 5 things today for practitioner generosity. We're going to be talking about anticipatory thoughtfulness, the gift of time, talent, and resource, creative elevation, professional enhancement, and we're going to end with my favorite, morale and culture. So let's get right to it, Angel.
Let's do it.
The board will kill me if I go over 30, 40 minutes. Anticipatory thoughtfulness. Angel, I work 80 hours a week. Not that everybody in the department works 80 hours a week, but I am surrounded by my work family. If not in person for 80 hours a week, I am surrounded by them in emails and text messages and work that, you know, needs to be completed over the weekend or whatever. They're with me, whether it be in body or spirit, for 80 hours a week. I can't say that I even spend even a quarter of that, you know, with my wife, my dogs, my wife's family, my family, and even my kids. So your work family out there, caregivers, sorry about that. You're with your work family more than you are with your personal family. Their loves need to become your loves. Their concerns need to become your concerns. Their victories need to become your victories. And sadly, their tragedies need to become your tragedies. You have to anticipate the needs of the people that you work with, your work family. You need to give as a medical leader to the staff that you're leading without having to be asked. You have to anticipate what their needs are. You need to know the people that you work with genuinely, not by prying or being nosy, but you really, because you care. You need to accept them with their warts and all of their downsides or whatever their negative, you know, characteristics are. You have to accept them as they are, the good and the bad. And then you have to step in quietly, but impactfully, in order to make them feel that they're wanted, that they're needed, that their work has meaning. That is your job as the medical leader of your department. So examples, a handwritten card to one of your coworkers who's going through a hard time. Give a inspirational magnet if one of your coworkers' kids is going through a medical issue, broke a leg, whatever. You know, get involved. You know, don't over get involved, but make them know that you know and you care. Send them a cup of soup. I've been working with this company, Spoonful of Comfort. Amazing. Just an amazing company. And they don't sponsor this podcast, but maybe they should. Decorate a door. You know, when my kids were in school and it was their birthday, their friends would decorate their lockers.
Yeah.
If it's somebody's birthday in your department, in your department, decorate their door. Get them a balloon.
Yeah. Even buy them a cupcake.
You know, something. If they're getting married or they're having a life event, a baby, their family is going to give them a wedding shower and a baby shower. Why can't you guys give them a wedding shower and a baby shower? Make their life events your life events. Hospital visit. If one of your friends, one of your coworkers is admitted to the hospital or whatever, you know, go visit them. Bring them a chocolate. If, as long as they're not in a diabetic coma, you know, bring them some food, you know, send it over. I mean, you know, you need to anticipate their needs and you need to be thoughtful. The gift of time, talent, and resources. You are more than your wallet. I mean, there will be one of the categories where you will have to spend money, but the first four, you don't have to spend a cent. You are part of a prestigious and clandestine society that has been magical, has otherworldly powers. We save lives. We perform miracles every day. Use your membership card to help your staff. Maybe they have some medical issues they want to talk to you about. Make sure you have an open door policy. Say they can't get an appointment to see a doctor. Call the doctor. See if you can get them in a couple of days early. If they need a referral or advice on where to go or what to do. And help them navigate the world that you are already an expert in and have a membership card to. You are wise. You are insightful. Our medical training has given us that gift. We are like Yoda, right? We are just absolutely, you know, we kind of know the end of the mystery novel before it even starts. Like, we know the end of the story. Use those powers to help your staff. And you are also respected and honored by your staff. Make sure that you just can listen. Let them talk. Let them spew. Let them blow off some steam and just sit there and be available. The gift of time, talent, and resource. Creative elevation. Basically, there's the movie version. A doctor comes upon a car crash, and they save the person with like a pocket knife, a pen, and some duct tape, right? And they do it all by themselves. And remember that the medical series from the 1960s, right? There was Ben Casey and all those kind of shows where the doctors were everything and everyone else was just like these little peons. Well, I have news for you. Bad news. We cannot do this alone. We need our work family. We can't heal without them. We can't do anything without them. So come down to earth, come down from the clouds, come down from the heavens, and step foot on solid earth and ground and realize that we are incomplete. We can't do anything without our staff. Create for them that environment where you appreciate that and you recognize that you need them. Send them a love letter. Write them a poem. We are creative creatures. I don't know a doctor that isn't a musician or isn't a writer or isn't a painter or doesn't take photographs. I guess the medical training kind of either triggers that part of the brain or that we need a release in some kind of an artistic way. Use that gift that God has given you and gift it back to your staff. Make them know that you appreciate them. Let them know how much they've contributed to the outcome of your patients. I actually, one year, I took the Gettysburg Address and I reworded it to really to consecrate the work that they do for our patients every day. So that's the type of thing when we're talking about creative elevation. Let your staff know that you're appreciative and that you care. And that is generosity. Professional enhancements. Angel, I have three questions for our caregivers. Is your department the place where your staff's careers go to die? Mm-hmm. Right. Number one. Number two, is your department the place where you train robots, not healthcare professionals? Is your department the place where you are so understaffed but efficient, quote unquote, that not only is there no time to teach, educate, or elevate, but everyone is so tired and beaten down that they walk around with vacant stares and have lost the thirst to grow and learn? But make no mistake, Angel, it is our responsibility as medical leaders to parent our staff. It's almost like having a baby. You need to nourish them, you need to teach them, you need to train them, you need to educate them, and you need to enhance them on a daily basis. You need to be responsible for helping them get continuing medical education. You have to give them squirt training. I call them squirts, like little, you know, curbside teaching lessons, mm-hmm. anatomy lessons, you know, physiology lessons, you know, what, you know, this patient comes in, when's the last time a doctor showed their staff the x-rays? Show your staff the x-rays, show your staff the blood work, show your staff what you're doing and why you're doing it. Get involved in their society. So in our staff, we have the therapists, we have the dosimetrists, we have the physicists, we have the nurses, we have the nurse practitioners, we have the doctors. So we have a lot of different levels. We also have the administrators. Each of them has their own society. Find out what their society requires or recommends for them to stay current with their field. Help them stay current, or not only stay current, be ahead of the curve. Be on the cutting edge, be on the vanguard of each of their own subspecialties. That is your job. And last but not least, morale and culture. That's my favorite. That's what I absolutely love. And this is where you have to take your wallets out, guys. Get that crowbar, open it up. Exactly. Angel, when you look in my office, do I have a lot of pictures? No, that's the wrong answer. How many pictures do I have?
Well, I mean, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Not paintings. I'm talking about pictures.
Well, then you always say no, because they look like they are framed, though.
How many pictures do I have in my office?
Oh, man.
No, no, look.
Only three.
Thank you. One is of my wife. Mm-hmm. One of is of my kids. And the other one is the picture that I took on that tailgate party that we talked about.
Is Jose in this picture?
No, because this is before we got to the stadium.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But when you look at the picture, it was a Mets-Yankees game. And half of the staff is wearing Mets gear and half of the staff is wearing Yankees gear. And if you look in that picture, are they frowning?
Not one person. Everybody is smiling.
Everyone is smiling. Everyone is having a really great time. So I saved the best for last, at least my favorite, as I said. This is the part, as I said, you're going to have to spend some money. Do not let your department be the shock mice experiment. So the shock mice experiment is people are so beaten down in work that they get shocked, whether they're on this part of the grid or that part of the grid, and they end up being very, very ambivalent, and whether or not they're being shocked or not, they don't go after the peanut. And we don't want our staff to be that. We don't want them to be the walking dead of the hospital, right? We want them to be invigorated. I mean, what we do is stressful, especially in the cancer game. No one ever said, Angel, that you're not allowed to smile, laugh, or joke at work as long as it's appropriate and it's in the setting of clinical excellence. As I said, I work in a cancer center. This is a high stress place with very deserving people. Our survivors are the center of our life. And even though sometimes it could be sad, I still want you as a medical leader never to take humor out of your practice. It's crucial. It's not just crucial, it's absolutely mandatory. Laugh or die. Laugh or burn out. Laugh or stress yourself to death. So there's a couple of things you could do in-house. There's the lunches, the pizzas, the Chinese food. There's the contests, the costumes, Halloween, theme days. You know, dress up in a jersey, dress up in your pajamas, dress up, you know, with Hawaiian shirts. Thanksgiving Friday, you have the staff come in on Sunday, and then you don't have to work on Friday. You know, my staff, a bunch of years ago, when I was wearing Converse low tops, everybody got to design their, you know, bonuses in the old days before compliance. Everybody got a bonus. Now with compliance, you can't do that anymore. But these are the things that your staff will appreciate, and then get them outside. I was shocked. First of all, we have young people in this department, men and women, beautiful, handsome, lovely, you know, gorgeous, blah, blah, blah. But we see them every day. They're wearing their scrubs. Like, they're just our coworkers. You get some of these people out, you know, and you look at my nurse, Tina, when she's dressed up, she should be like on TV. You know, as all the other ladies, I'm not going to, you know, pick her out. But, you know, these are beautiful people and they love to dress up for the occasion because they get to show a different side of themselves. Right. When you take your staff outside of the hospital, absolutely game changer. You get to see a different side of them. You get to know them personally. It's mandatory. We've gone on bus trips and road trips and pizza crawls and breweries, tailgate parties, dinners, team building events, New York City circuses, Broadway, comedy shows, softball team, you know, all sorts of different events. I recommend at least to look into something like that. So, you know what we do here on the Croc Podcast? We don't point out problems without giving a solution. So where do you start? So start with self-reflection. How are you with anticipatory thoughtfulness? How are you with morale? How are you with gift of time, talent, and resource? How are you with creative elevation? And how are you with professional enhancement? And I am not here to judge you. I am here to get you through this. Start slow. Get a subcommittee within your department. I have a recommendation. Call the subcommittee the Living, Breathing Rainbow Committee. And that's going to be fun. You're going to get people that are going to be really interested, intrigued. They're going to say,
What is the Living Breathing Rainbow Committee? You'll say, oh, I can't tell you, but are you going to join this subcommittee? And you'll see how many people want to join. Then get to know your staff. Take their pulse. Do you, don't do me. You don't have to do any of the things I mentioned because I don't know your staff. I know my staff. And there are some universalities of staffs across, you know, cultures. Don't take that out, by the way.
I will not take it out.
And the word I just made up.
No.
It's what we do here.
We make words up.
When we don't have the word, we make it up. But do it for your department. Don't do it for me. Don't do what I do because some things won't fit your department. Do what fits you. Have a short-term goal, an intermediate term goal, and a long-term goal. So a six-month goal, a one-year goal, five-year goal. Start very slowly. So Angel, any comments?
I mean, I think we nailed it out of the park. I mean, obviously we started with the word generosity. You showed different views of how we can do things as a unit, as a team. And I think it goes, the best way I can bring this back is you hit something that reminded me of what was trained on me by my mentor. You're only as good as your staff, but remember that when you do things, if you can do something and don't realize you're even doing it, that's when you really know you're doing it from the heart. You know, if you have to think about what you're about to do, then you're doing it for that reason, which is self-gratification.
Right, self-aggrandizement. Yeah,
exactly. Right. So that's really the key. So a lot of us, yes, love that recognition, love the ability to do something because they want to hear that thank you. But ultimately, I want to take it a step further. It was you or that person that thought of it. So if you're going to buy donuts and it came to your mind that you were going to buy donuts, guess what? That was your idea. That actually came from the heart. But it was what you did after that. If you had to buy more donuts because you wanted more thank yous, that's when you took that turn. But you initially took the first offer.
Exactly. We're not looking to buy our staff.
Exactly.
We're looking to elevate our staff.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we have to remember that we're all people too.
Exactly.
We're all people too, regardless of what title we are. Everybody at one point likes to be recognized for what they do in their job, what they do in life. But you can't do all that if you don't know your team.
Exactly.
And that's what I got out of that.
Exactly. So Croc Nation, where are we going from here? We're going to stick with generosity for 3 weeks. Next week, we're going to be talking about organizational generosity, and then we're going to go to survivor generosity. And what a great way to end a podcast is to be generous and grateful for the people that are important to us here at the Croc Podcast. Our board of directors has been very active the last couple of weeks. We're starting to get together on the WhatsApp. So we're trying to plan our next board meeting and become extraordinarily active in trying to make our survivorship group the best in the universe. We recruited two superstar survivors to join our board for representation. We're cooking with gas. So to the Croc Podcast board of directors, I thank you. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rod Freeman, who's been spending a lot of time on the phone with me and in my office doing stuff. Small biz up. Can't thank you enough, Rod. Michael John Benzea, you and I have been in touch, actually. I understand you're going to be on the East Coast for a few months. So that means that you have no excuse not to join us on a podcast and to show your face. Charlotte Larson, thank you for all of your generosity, my dear. And we end this podcast as we end every podcast. On behalf of the board of directors, Angel Santana, and the entire group, we wish you a very long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. God keep you. Peace.